It's good to see everyone here again this afternoon. I mentioned to Brian before services that there really wasn't a purpose or reason to record this lesson. This is actually kind of a rerun. This is actually a lesson I gave back in 2018, right around the new year. So at that time in our study and our theme, the topic that I had for that particular time was embracing fellowship with God's people. And so really the only thing I've done to kind of rewrite this lesson is just I changed the year a little bit. So, but I think it's always something for us, it's always good for us to reflect and to reconsider some of our previous lessons. And I think this is a good one for us to just keep in mind how important it is for us to have fellowship with one another and how important it is for us to uplift each other. And that we're all in this together. There are some people out in the world, especially in these times, where they may get downhearted or they may get depressed or may feel bad thinking that they're alone. And it's a great thing that we have being a part of the church, that we're never alone. We always have each other as well as God with us. So in this lesson, 2021 is here. I know a lot of us... before in 2019, we really thought 2020 was going to be the year. Some people were saying 2020, everything's going to be much clearer. We'll all be able to see 2020 and so on and so forth. I know that at any given day, if we think about it, we're the youngest we're ever going to be again. And we're as old as we've ever been. And when some people start really kind of thinking about that, some people, it kind of gets them down a little bit. But when we really stop and think about it and reflect kind of what's gone on over just the past year, we are very blessed. There have been so many people that have lost friends, family members, and people that have lost their jobs and their homes. And but overall, we are still very blessed that we have, that we're here, that we're alive, and that we have the church and we have each other. As time rolls on and our journey here continues, we should constantly keep perspective and focus on what is truly important. The topic, as I mentioned before at this time, was for us to focus on the blessings of fellowship. And I believe fellowship is a very important aspect in our lives that sometimes we may take for granted. I mean, just imagine if you had to be in this world with no other person that believed the way you did. To know that you are truly alone here, and only after you passed away and abided in your home in heaven, only then could you be with others that share the same belief as you. It would be pretty rough, and it would be a lonely life, if we had to imagine. Even more so than it may already be for some others. But fortunately, that's not so. In fact, we have many friends and family members that share our belief in our Savior and God. So, since it's 2021, it's now come and gone. At the time, it was 2018 when I wrote this. Specifically, since it was 2018, this afternoon we're going to go over just 18 reasons why we should commit and embrace fellowship with God's people or with His church. To begin, number one, we demonstrate a sincere love for Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 20, it says, "We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Also in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." also one of the blessings we have in fellowship is that we receive the encouragement of harmony. Romans chapter 15 verse 5 says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus." Also, we experience mutual acceptance among radically different people. Romans 15 verse 7 says, "Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." One thing that I can say is that there are many of those who are a part of Christ's church that come from all different walks of life, all different type of occupations, all different types of background. But even though we are different in many ways, we are all family. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Moving on to number 4, we benefit from mutual instruction, encouragement, and even correction. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." Also, one of the blessings we have in fellowship is that we gain opportunities for joy, mutual comfort, unity, encouragement, and peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11 says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Also, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, here the Bible reads, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you were doing." Another blessing we have is that we can use our newfound freedom by the loving service of others. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Also, we receive God-given opportunities to develop patience. I can say it's always been told to me that we should never really pray for patience, because typically what we do is usually get obstacles that help teach us to be more and more patient. But it's amazing some of the opportunities that we are given in order to develop our patience. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 through 2 says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Number 8. We become aware of God-given opportunities to grow in kindness and forgiving others when we have fellowship with one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Also in Colossians 3, verse 13 says, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Another blessing is that we receive mutual encouragement and growth that comes from worship before God. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God." Number 10, we demonstrate reverence to Christ when we fellowship with one another. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 reads, "Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." We also put ourselves on God's pathway for cultivating spiritual growth. Colossians 3 verse 7 through 10 says, "And these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Also, when we fellowship with one another, we gain opportunities to seek God's answer to prayer, especially in the lives of others. You know, one thing I can say is that it seems to be human nature to be self-absorbed. It seems that society as a whole, it's all about me, it's all about I, it has nothing to do with anybody else. But how great is it when we're able to not only see some of our own prayers answered and our own blessings received, but we can see prayers answered, not maybe through our lives, but through the lives of our other of our other friends, families, brothers, and sisters. So by caring for other people besides ourselves, it's only natural that we will see more prayers answered, maybe not just through our lives, but through the lives of others. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3 reads, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." Also in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 11 through 12 reads, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you." Now when we fellowship with one another, we receive confrontation from others, making yourselves less vulnerable to the hardening deceitfulness of sin. When we fellowship with others, this is something that may not seem like a good thing at first, but just like somebody that's grown up with much affliction or confrontation, there's a toughness about them. There's a maturity about them. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." It's easy for us to get wrapped up in the world. It's easy for us to lose focus on what's important. And it's very important for us to come together, for us to fellowship with one another, to remind ourselves why we're truly here, and to not let the things of this world take advantage of all of our time. Moving on, we stir up others to love and good works when we fellowship with one another, while being stirred up by others to love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Number 15. When we fellowship with one another, we gain many opportunities to put to death our judgmental spirit. Once again, it seems to be human nature for us to be judgmental over other things. It's so much easier for us to be on the outside looking in and to be able to point at other people's imperfections and shortcomings. But when we fellowship with one another, it helps us focus on ourselves, and it helps us to focus on what is right rather than pointing fingers. James chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Also in chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Moving on, another benefit is that we are freed to confess our sins to a brother or sister and benefit by their prayers for us. Once again, I'm kind of a loner. I don't really go to a lot of social events. I kind of have anxiety sometimes. I'll be all ready to go, and within about 30 minutes, I'll kind of talk myself out of going, just because I might not know enough people there, or, you know, that kind of thing. And because of that, you know, we don't have the benefit of helping each other. I know when Dad first got diagnosed, he really wasn't going to tell anybody. As a matter of fact, there for a while, he wasn't even going to tell me. That's just kind of the way he is. That's kind of the way some of us are. We don't like to make big deals about ourselves. It's better for everything to just kind of go under the radar, especially if it's new news and you don't really know exactly how it's going to pan out. But after a while, he started kind of thinking about it and realized we're in a situation where we may need to be brought up, you know, with fellowship with one another. We may need the prayers of one another. It's very important for us to be able to share trials, tribulations that we go through. It's very important for us to be able to lean on one another and be able to pray for one another and to be with one another. It's very important for us to remember that. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I, for one, firmly believe in the power of prayer. There are a lot of people in the world that think it's hollow and that it means nothing. But I believe we all probably have experiences in our lives where we've seen the power of prayer and what it can do for us. When we fellowship with one another, another blessing we have is that we grow in humility. And 1 Peter chapter 5 says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We also make the gospel more visible to a dark world. You know, when I was growing up and I would go to some of these young speaker meetings, after the meeting, it wouldn't be uncommon for everybody to meet somewhere to have something to eat, or sometimes like Paul, when he invites everyone for ice cream or something in a meeting. And I remember growing up where there would be a large group of young Christians in a place to eat or something, and then all of a sudden they just start singing. You could see the other folks that didn't really know what was going on. At first they thought it was kind of odd, but it's just, you could see others that were just smiling. Kids that you know were part of the congregation that didn't attend the service, that were just there because it was a Wednesday night and they were eating there, you can see the joy on their face, just kind of wondering what's going on. And I know that's not maybe the best example, but it's amazing how much light we can shine instead of just being by ourselves. How much light we can shine in our dark world by fellowship with one another and by worshiping God together. John chapter 13, verse 35 reads, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, it says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Also in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. And also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Also in verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. We should show love for one another, as is mentioned in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Also in verse 11 through 12, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And finally, 2 John chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So there are many blessings that we have by having fellowship with one another, by not living our lives just by ourselves. And it's important for us to have fellowship with one another. In closing, there is I don't know if it was a gospel song or if it's just a poem. I don't know if it has a tune to it. But there was a poem, and it's called One in Christ. I'm not sure who the author was, but I saw it, and I thought it was, at the time when I wrote this, I thought it was it was good for kind of get our minds wrapped around kind of the thought process. But the title is One in Christ. It says, we are many, God's great diversity, yet we are one in Christ. Different faces, different races, yet we are one in Christ. Butchers, bakers, website makers, bankers, tailors, teachers, sailors. Yet we are one in Christ. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, single, married, broken, carried. Yet we are one in Christ. The happy, the sappy, those that love nappies, the ancient, the modern, the famous, the forgotten. Yet we are one in Christ. Some hopeful, some hopeless, some cope well, some cope less, some sure and some doubt, some whisper, some shout. Yet we are one in Christ. Those with abundance, those that have need, those who are generous or wrestle, may wrestle with greed. Yet we are one in Christ. Elbows, tummies, knees and noses, kidneys, femurs, teeth and toeses, some out on a limb, some protected, some accepted, some rejected. Yet we are one if we are in Christ. A broken body torn apart mars God's image and breaks God's heart. And yet our Father knows how the end will be when all his children will sing in harmony. The bride will dazzle, her branches bloom, so add your voice to the hymn, to him the tune, that we are one in Christ. You know, it's an amazing blessing to be a part of Christ's church, to be a member of the body, to be able to associate and have fellowship with those of like precious faith, to build each other up, to walk the straight and narrow, arm in arm together, as it were. Now, we all know that we are responsible for our own salvation, but it's amazing for us to be able to walk the straight and narrow and to walk the righteous path together as this church. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.